Going to go ahead and start in prayer, and then we're going to get right into this session that we're doing on spiritual warfare. And the topic is asking the Lord, and how powerful that is in the Word to ask God. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we just thank you. And Lord, we're asking you to move mightily to reveal yourself to us. Whoa, even as we talk about speaking to you and praying to you and asking you, Lord God, and seeking your face. Holy Spirit, would you come and just teach us your way? Lord, I just yield to you right now, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just take over and just reveal to us something we've never even thought of before in the area of prayer and asking. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. So we're picking this teaching up in James. We've looked at what Jesus said about asking in the Bible. We've looked at all the Gospels, and now we're in the epistles. And so let's pick this up in James 4, and we're going to go verse 1 through probably 8. From where do wars and fighting among you come? Is it not from this, from the lust warring in your members? You desire and you do not have. You murder, you are jealous. You're not able to obtain. You fight and you war and you do not have because you do not ask. Isn't that amazing? God is saying, you all have all this mess going on. The devil's attacking you. You've got all this lust and you've got all this jealousy. You're manipulating everything. You're conniving. You're doing things in deception because you want something, but you don't really believe that you can just ask God. You don't really believe that you could just ask God and God would answer. You know, a lot of the teaching we do at on our Tuesday nights and in our inner healing series and sessions is to help people to get free from all of these lusts in our hearts and all this warring and fighting and all of this junk that Satan has placed in our lives to make us afraid to just ask God, to make us think that he would not say yes, to make us not trust that God would give us the true answer that we need. So he's saying here, look, all your fighting, all your warring, all your strife in your homes, all the competition in your ministries, all the stuff that's going on, all the stuff between you and your kids where you're not getting your prayers answered, it's because there's lust warring in your, in other words, there are desires in your members that are in charge. It's your flesh in charge. Could even be more spiritual than the enemy being in charge. And so there's all this strife going on. You have desires, but you don't have what you're asking for. You don't have the finances you want. You don't have the relationships you want. Things are happening. It goes so far to say some of you murder, and you're in the Bible. If you hate someone and you want them dead in your heart, according to God, you've murdered them. So you're murdering people. You can murder somebody's reputation. You know, there's a lot of ways to murder without literally killing someone. But I believe it probably talks about that too. You're jealous. And we have a whole teaching on jealousy that we really need to get. It's looking at somebody else and wanting what they have. Wanting their calling, their anointing, their gifting, their relationships, their personality, their looks, their anything. There's just this jealousy going on. And you just can't obtain it. So you see this frustration here where you want stuff, you're not getting it. You're desiring things that's not happening for you. You're not obtaining things. And you even fight and you war and you don't have. And it's because you don't ask God. He says you ask. And so you say, well, wait a minute, I do ask. I've asked God. I've asked God for the finances. I've asked God for the relationship to be healed. I've asked God these things. He goes, but you ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order that you may spend it on your lust. Adulteress, do you not know that the friendship of the world is hostility towards God? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is put down as hostile to God. Or do you think that vainly the scriptures say the spirit which has dwelt in us yearns to envy? Okay, I want to go over this a little bit. So he sees here that some people are going to say, wait a minute, I do ask God. God, I come before you and I ask and I pray and I seek your face and I want direction. And then he says, well, if you're asking and you're not receiving, the problem is not with God. The problem is with your motive. The problem is with the lust and the desires in your heart that are stopping you from receiving from God. You're asking with wrong motives. You're asking with wrong hearts. You're actually acting like the world. So you see in the world the spirit of mammon. You see people wanting to be rich. You see people wanting to have big houses. You see people wanting to buy this or to have that. You see people having this kind of platform, or people being important. So he's saying here, now if you're asking and you're going to God for it and you're not receiving from God, it's only because of your motives. If your motives are pure, if your heart gets right, if you deal with the lust, if you deal with the insecurities in your heart, if you deal with the areas that Satan has damaged you, which is what healing the broken places is about, healing the brokenhearted, then you would be able to ask and always receive, because you'd get the heart of God. You'd only ask those things that God has placed in your heart to ask. So he's telling you really clear here, if you're not receiving when you're asking, go and let God deal with your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to change your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's going on in your life, where you've been damaged, and ask for the fear of the Lord, because that's the beginning of wisdom. If you're not getting your prayers answered, ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you are still a friend of the world. And when it says world here, it's not talking about doing things that God says we can do, that he placed here for our enjoyment, like having relationships and fellowship with your friends and, you know, going to the mountains, going to the beach, whatever it is that you enjoy, that God's given us this awesome life to enjoy. He's not talking about that. He's talking about world systems. He's talking about looking to money as the answer. He's talking about being jealous, contentious, envious, all these things that you're lusting after, all these things that you see in the world and the world system that you want. He says, deal with those things. Let the Holy Spirit deal with those things. God, by his Holy Spirit, he's envious or he's jealous. It depends on what translation. Why? Because he owns us. When Jesus Christ, first of all, God owns everything. Whether we want that ownership or not, he still has all say in everything because he's God. But that he's chosen to lay down his life by the Lord Jesus Christ, laying down his life and making a way to make us holy and in right standing with God, so that we can truly have the Holy Spirit dwell in us. Once the Spirit dwells in us, know this, he really wants ownership. He wants to completely, absolutely, positively own every single bit of us from our head to our toes. And he's not going to be satisfied with us still being worldly and a friend with the world. And so God's not going to answer or hear our prayer, so to speak, because we are still wanting to be in the kingdom, but in the world. What he's saying here, if you would let God deal with your heart and get you out of the world and into the kingdom, it's always yes. It's always yes. He's always going to answer and give you the things you're asking for. He's a jealous God. He's a loving God. And he wants to say yes if our hearts completely belong to him. All right. Verse 6, but he gives greater grace. Because of this, it says, God sets himself against proud ones, but he gives grace to humble ones. And now he's putting all this with asking. He's saying, now you're asking, but you're not receiving because you're still very worldly. You still have lust in your heart. You still are fighting and jealous and contentious. You're still acting like the old man. You're still acting like the people in the world. And because of this, God is jealous about this. God's not going to share you with the world. He's not going to share you with the enemy. He's not going to allow you to be what you were when you got saved. He wants to change you and bring you completely into his kingdom to be his possession, to belong to him and to him alone. And so he's telling you here that there's a lot of grace. And we've talked about before, grace is like God's supernatural or divine empowerment. It's God's power that he pours out to bring you into the promises that he has for you. It's God's own power poured out for you so that you can do the will of God, so that you can be in God's will, and so that the promises of God will come to pass in your life. So when things aren't going right and the answers aren't coming, he's telling you, ask for grace. God, give me the grace to let go of the world. God, give me the grace to deal with these lusts. God, give me the grace to live for you and you alone. God, give me the grace. So that should be one of your first questions. Ask for wisdom, but then ask for grace. And he goes on and he says, with the grace, he said, because of this, it says, God sets himself against the proud ones, but he gives grace to humble ones. If you're not getting your prayers answered, according to this, there's something wrong in your motives. There's something, either you're not asking and you don't have understanding. You don't know how to ask God. You don't know you can go to God, go boldly to the throne room of grace and talk to God and ask God. And then you have to really understand who God is and what Jesus paid for and what the Holy Spirit's doing. And we have lots of teaching on that. You know, get our teaching called The Cross. It'll explain a lot of that. But he's saying, you know, you have to have that understanding to even ask. But you say, but I do ask. Okay, well, you're asking, but you're still worldly. You're still a friend of the world and the world system, which makes you an enemy to God. Therefore, because God's a jealous God, he's not going to go along with your ways. He wants all of you. And he's not going to settle until his spirit has completely possessed all of you for his own. Therefore, you're not getting your prayers answered because your heart's not right. Your heart's not right. God's not answering your prayers. And even to keep being worldly after you find Christ is prideful. We get a whole teaching back there on pride and high-mindedness and not laying down our own life. So there's so much pride. So you need to see here, wow, if God's not answering my prayers, whether it's for healing, whether it's for deliverance, whether it's for finances, whatever it is, he's telling you in the book of James, quit blaming the devil, which we'll see in a second. Quit blaming, you know, God, and realize that it's about you. It's about your heart. It's about things he has to change in your heart. And what is he trying to change in your heart? So that you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul, all of you belonging to him. And then whatever things you ask, believe and don't doubt, and you'll receive those according to his word. And so he's telling us here, now if you're prideful, which means independent from God, I want your stuff, God, but I really don't want you. I want your blessing, God, because I want to be like the world. All that's pride. All that's pride. Independence from God is pride. What Lucifer did was Lucifer had every gift, the highest authority and power in heaven outside of the Godhead. And he wanted to use all that for himself, and he no longer wanted God. It was like, God, I got your stuff. Who needs you? I want to be God. I want to take your place. I want to be the one that everybody's watching. I want to be the one that's calling the shots. And that was a little bit the temptation with Adam and Eve in the garden, if you want to go back there. And so we see here, God just revealing this, you know, these lusts in your heart, your lust to run your own life, the lust to do things your way, the lust to live as if you're in the world and wanting to use God. And use his gifts and use his power and use his authority. But it's about you. And so he's saying there, you know, you're adulterous, you don't understand. Your prayers aren't being answered because of these wrong things in your heart. You're prideful. You're independent from God. You're not humble. You're not submitted to God. You're not dependent on God. He says he will give grace to the humble. Humility is truly getting to a revelation of brokenness. And we've talked about brokenness in some of the inner healing teachings, but brokenness is where you see your need for a savior. It's where you see where you've hurt people. It's where you see where you've missed it. It's where you see that you so need to be able to repent and have a God who will truly forgive you. And it's in that place of brokenness that the Holy Spirit begins to really reveal Christ to us, really begins to open our eyes to the deception, and it causes us to walk away from the lust. It causes us to walk away from being a friend with the world. All of a sudden, the world has nothing that we want anymore. And then we ask God for grace, or we cry out for grace, and God says, you know, you've been broken now. You know you need me. You're beginning to understand my ways. You're letting the old man die, be crucified, and now he says he gives grace to the humble. So if your prayers aren't being answered and you're asking, you need to ask God to deal with your pride, and you need to let God humble you. And we got a lot of teaching to help with that also. Verse 7, be subject to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right? Be subject to God. This is really powerful. You want your prayers answered? you're asking and you're not receiving. He tells you so clearly in James why they're not being answered. I don't know why they even have the books anymore. Why did that happen? Go to the book of James. God didn't make it a secret. Well, we'll find out when we get in heaven. No, you can find out right now if you read the book of James. If you get the log out of your eye and recognize your heart's not right with God, recognize you're still very worldly. You know, even when my daughter died and went to be with the Lord, the enemy attacked her and she died and she instantly went to be with the Lord. It wasn't her trial. She's in heaven with Jesus. But the question then was, why did this happen? And I could make up some mystery reason that's totally unbiblical. But the only biblical truth that I can find when I search the scripture is that I wasn't walking where I needed to walk to hear God, to know how to do the warfare, to resist me. I didn't know that though, okay? I didn't know that. People, I wasn't hearing this kind of teaching. You know, we think we're doing so much for God, but we're still living for ourselves and we've just added God to the list. We haven't completely submitted ourselves to God. This first thing to beat the enemy, the first thing to get your prayers answered is subject yourself to God. How do I subject myself to God? I read his word and I believe his word and I do what his word says, whether I understand it and agree with it or not. God never asked me to actually have a conference with him about if he's right or wrong, because actually he's right all the time. And so part of being subject to God is beginning to do what his word says. And I talk to people all the time. I say, well, you know, are you doing warfare? Are you casting down imaginations? Are you speaking the word? Well, I do it a little bit. He didn't say do it a little bit. He says if Satan comes and talks to you, you need to do what Jesus did. You need to put the word in his face. Not argue with the devil. Not act like you're bigger than the devil. The devil would eat you alive and spit you out in a million pieces if it wasn't for God living inside of you and God's great grace. So don't get all puffy, huffy like I told the devil. You didn't, that devil would destroy you if it wasn't for who God is. But we need to rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus with the word of God all the time. Oh, I learned that a long time ago. Then it should be a part of your life. That's being subject to God. Being subject to God is being subject to his ways, being subject to his truth, walking in the things he tells us, walking in the things he shows us, and being a doer of the word, not hearer only. The Bible says, do not grow weary, and you'll reap. So the enemy's going to try to wear you out. But you just keep your eyes on the Lord, walking with the Lord. So first, we have to be subject to God. What? To get our prayers answered. This is all about asking. Then we have to resist the devil. So God's word's going to tell you how to resist the devil. The Bible and other scripture says, know the schemes of the enemy. One thing about resisting the devil that I so need to teach, at least people who live in condemnation, is how do you resist them? Submit to God and his word and believe it. And then don't listen to the enemy. Don't let him tell you you're no good. Don't let him tell you he's going to do this and that. You take authority over him in the name of Jesus, and you punish his disobedience. And you get so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that if you're not agreeing with God and his word and his truth, then why are you having these conversations in your mind? Because you're talking to the enemy. You need to resist. You need to submit yourself to God first. Know his word. Know his truth. Believe in his word. Believe in his truth. Believe he is who he says he is. So if he says, I'm the God that healeth thee, because he says that, and then the thing in your brain, the enemy says, oh yeah, but you know, the last person who said that died of cancer. You know, first of all, don't even let the conversation go long enough for the devil to tell you all that. You can really learn to cast out imaginations. You can really learn to sense, is that God? The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, another they won't follow. Why are you following a voice that isn't his voice? See, I cut it off before it can even finish speaking. You can get so tuned in by your spirit man, knowing the voice of God, that when the enemy even tries to put a thought in your head, it's cast down before you ever let the thought, you know, take any root in you. You're not supposed to sit there and think about it a while. You know, that's not the Lord's voice. I'm not listening to that. And Satan can get really tricky with this. I was talking, at a meeting recently, and I was asking the Lord, I was just crying out. I said, Lord, I really, really, I just want to live for you, God. I just want to die to everything that's of the world. I just want to live for you. And I was just worshiping, Lord, as a guest speaker at a meeting I went to. Presence of God was there. And I was just crying out with all my heart to God. With all my heart. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I didn't care if anybody saw me, didn't see me. I just, some people didn't see me. And I was weeping. I said, Lord, I just really want to live for you. I just really want to live for you. Would you get every selfish thing out of my heart? God, would you still change my heart? Lord, don't let me go down and come up the same. And I was just crying out to the Lord. So when I got prayed for and I went down, it was very confusing to me, which already, God is not the author of confusion. So right away, I realized the enemy was speaking to me. But it took a few seconds. You know, Satan's really subtle, especially as you walk deeper in God. And he began to say, if you really want to follow me, because the devil's going to try to sound like God, then I want you to pick out 5 of your new shirts that you've bought and your one jacket that you just bought. And I want you to give them to this person. And so as I was saying that and as I was doing that, I was like, Lord, I know I don't mind giving things away. Why is this bothering me to do this? And I'm thinking, this isn't what I was expecting. God, I was expecting you to come and just rip something out of my heart or show me something or give me a deeper revelation of you. Why are you telling me to give away 5 shirts? And I'm thinking, God, I don't want to give away 5 shirts. I don't feel like I have grace to give away 5 shirts. But that's not like me. And that was like, you know, trying to talk like God. Well, you know, he throws that scripture in there about the young ruler who had to give away everything. And I'm like, well, Lord, if this is really you, and I just got up thinking, I just got up like confused going, Lord, and I'm sitting here thinking, Lord, I know I've given you my life. I've given you my daughter. Lord, you know, I said, you took my sorrow, my grief. Lord, I've given you the career that I have. I've given you, you know, all these things. I can't believe that I would be having trouble giving away 5 shirts and a jacket. I gave away over 70 clothing items that week. I said, this doesn't make, I mean, you know, if I want them, I'll just go rebuy them. If you tell me not to rebuy them, I won't. I said, I couldn't, the confusion, because my heart is, the enemy's trying to act like God and make me think I'm greedy and make me think I'm, you know, not selfish. And I was sitting there and I was praying. I said, Lord, this is not what I was expecting. What is going on?